If we were to play a simple word association game or exercise this morning, and you were to call out the first word or image that came to your mind when I or anyone referenced the book of Daniel in the Bible, what would it be? The book of Daniel, what comes to mind? Lions, right? I think that's universal if you grew up in church or if you ever heard anything about the book of Daniel, is that lions would be your answer. This week we come to the lion chapter. And what we're going to do is we're going to take three different sermons, three different times to look at Daniel chapter 6 because we are so familiar with it. And there's so much in this particular passage that's easy for us to miss in our familiarity. And so in order to kind of help with that, we're actually going to read this morning, first of all, from Jeremiah 29, not actually from the book of Daniel. We're going to get into the story later on this morning. But I want us to return to Jeremiah 29 and be reminded of what God told his people, i.e. Daniel, about exile, about how God spoke to them about what he was doing and what he was calling and commanding them to do in exile. Because Daniel and the people of God were taken away by God to a foreign land as a form of discipline, as a form of redemptive punishment. And God gave them instructions for who to be and how to live. And that's one of the reasons I think Daniel is so important for us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ in the United States of America, and you submit to God and submit to his word, you are in a very small minority. Researchers would say about 5 to 7% of USA adults are in that category. We live in a time where we are in exile. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ anywhere in the world, God says you're an exile. You're an alien. You're a stranger. So let's turn to God's word and let's read along in Jeremiah 29. We're going to read Jeremiah 29 verses 1 through 10. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. A letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, I'm terrible with these names, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." We read that again. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us in your word, and would you give us your very self? Lord, would you meet us as we worship and draw us close to you? Lord, what we need this morning is not just a nice worship service. Lord, what we need this morning is beyond beautiful music, is beyond some increase in our historical knowledge of the book of Daniel. Lord, what we need is you. So would you do what you have promised? Would your word go out and not return empty? Would you work in us? Would you speak to us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah writes this, and God speaks to the exiles and has a letter sent to them because amongst the people of God, there are a bunch of people who are claiming to have a prophecy. They're saying it's going to be okay. This exile, this defeat's not going to last long. God is going to fix this soon. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. And God wants to correct that message. And so he speaks to Jeremiah, and this letter is written to the people of God and to the exiles to say, hey, what these people are saying, don't listen to them. 70 years, you're going to be in exile. 70 years. And so here's what you're to do during that time. And we read it. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Isn't that bizarre? Can you imagine if Canada invaded North America, invaded the United States of America, and took all of the Christians off into exile into Canada? I know for some of you, it's a far stretch, but just run with it. Took us all off into Canada to live there as slaves. And God said, I want you to seek the good of the Canadians. I'd be like, what? Really? Bad Canadians, mean Canadians, terrible Canadians, hate the Canadians, we're their slaves. And God says, no, I want you to seek their good. What does it mean for us as exiles to seek the welfare of the city where we live in exile? Three things this morning as we look at Daniel 6. By serving and suffering with hope. That's what it means, and that's what we see in Daniel 6, that it means for us to serve the city where God has put us into exile. To seek the welfare of the city where God has put us into exile by serving and suffering with hope. Let's go to Daniel 6 and read the first few verses. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So catching up, because it's been a couple of weeks, we see that Babylon fell in chapter 5. God judged Babylon. And he handed it over to the Persians. And so now there's a new nation ruling the whole empire of Babylon. And Darius appears to be kind of the king. Cyrus is the king, kind of the king's envoy in Babylon to get Babylon sorted. Because we know from what we saw, and if you were here when our brother preached the other week, that Babylon was a mess. And so here, Darius is getting Babylon in order. And as he's getting Babylon in order, we read that Daniel is doing what? He's serving. Look again at verse 3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. All right, before that, we see that Daniel is one of these three, three high officials. And he continues to serve, and he serves so well that Darius wants to put him over the whole kingdom. Daniel is following God's word in Jeremiah chapter 29. He's seeking the good of the city. He's seeking the good of the nation. Now, we might expect, given all that Daniel's been through, that at some point he would say, I'm done. I'm done with being in a public limelight. I'm done with these positions I keep on getting myself into. I'm going to retire to some kind of quiet part of the country and work in my garden and feed the ducks. But he has to continue to serve. And he's serving the good of a pagan empire. Now, a new pagan empire. It's crazy. But Daniel is giving his all to serve faithfully because that's what God calls us to do. To serve the world around us. And we see here that Daniel is serving, first of all, God. Look at how he serves. Look at the end of verse 2. So that the king might suffer no loss. As with human nature and in these situations, people who get to be overseers and get to collect taxes, they do what humans do. They serve themselves. There's graft or corruption or bribery or kind of schemes that they enrich themselves with beyond their normal paycheck. We've seen it since the beginning of time and we see it today. We see that politicians in our own country leave D.C. with a lot more wealth than their actual salary would add up to. And we say, okay, how did that happen? We see it all over the world. But Daniel here, because he's serving God, and God has told him to seek the welfare of the city, is not seeking to serve himself. Verse 3, then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Daniel is serving God, and therefore he's serving this world with integrity. That's what it means for us to seek the welfare of this place, that we serve others. What does that mean for us? Well, it means for us that as we enter into this famous chapter on Daniel and the lion's den, God's word encourages us to keep on keeping on. Serving others is not fun. Serving others can be very, very rewarding, but it can be exhausting, it can be difficult, it can be draining. You will never be thanked sufficiently for your service. But God calls us to serve this world. Not for our own benefit. Not for our own reward, but for Him. So keep on serving. Don't give up. It makes us also got to ask the question about what does it mean for the church here in Atlanta? To serve the city of Atlanta. And it's very easy for us, as followers of Jesus Christ, to kind of divide our worlds to what they call kind of the sacred and the secular, where we have our kind of our work life. We have our Monday to Saturday life. And that's the life we live. And then we have kind of a secular kind of life that we kind of delve into. Or where we do church, or we do small group, or we do kind of a little bit of service. But to have these worlds that feel that they're very different and that they're not combined. And God calls us to live all of our life, Monday through Sunday or Sunday through Saturday, to serve Him every day, to live for Him every day. It's also easy for us to separate from the world. The world is messy. The world is difficult. It's easy for us to kind of look to our church or our church community to be this safe kind of bubble where we can kind of be safe and feel protected and let our guard down. A place that we can have come to just for solace and just for community. But God calls the church and His people to be advancing and moving into the world. Yes, the church is meant to be safe, but it's not meant to be a safe place for Christians to hide. This also means that we've got to keep on keeping on, like I said. I've said this before. If you want to wake up tomorrow morning as a selfish, self-centered, and self-serving person, all you have to do is go to sleep tonight. Because that's our default. Even those of us who are kind of lovers of other people, kind of carers for other people, we wake up in the morning and we do that because we want to feel good about ourselves. We want to be rewarded. We want people to like us. Self-serving is our sinful default. And it's the same for us as Christians. And it's the same for us as a church. And it's very easy for us to fall into the habit or the pattern where church is somewhere where I get served. That the church is there to serve me. And that's why Daniel 6 is important for us. How do we seek the welfare of the city that God has put us into exile? We do it by serving. We got to go out into the world. Now that's tough with COVID-19, right? Where we're isolating a lot. And that's one of the things I fear during this time. During this time, will we just serve ourselves even more? Will we look for ways to serve other people? I reference how much I miss our students being here for tutoring after school with the Sandy Springs Mission. But you can tutor them virtually. You can serve them, the poor and the needy in our city, by helping them with their homework virtually. Now, that's serving. Because who wants another Zoom meeting? Or if you're a parent, who wants to help another kid with their homework over Zoom? But God calls us to seek to serve. Maybe one of the ways you can serve our city is by praying. Joining our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Where a group of people from our church meet together to pray for this world. To pray for God's work in this world. To pray for our church, yes, but to serve God in prayer. Maybe it'll be writing notes to your neighbors, telling them you're praying for them. We have a great opportunity with Streetwise that we heard about on Bluegrass Sunday. And when Carrie and Greg and Bob shared up here, if you weren't here for that one, I encourage you to find that on the live stream and find that interview and hear about this opportunity. Go find it in your emails from Pastor Bob. We have 120 gifts that we want to collect for older children in the name of Jesus. 120 is a good number. It's a stretch for us as a church. But God calls us to serve. God calls us to serve as He has served us. Psalm 46 says that God is a very present help in trouble. God is our helper. God has served us in Jesus Christ. God, the Holy God of the universe, is our helper. And so we serve and we help as those who have been served. as those who know the very present help that God is. So first of all, we seek the good of our city by serving and suffering. So turn to Daniel chapter 6 and keep reading with the story. Verse 6. Actually, let's go back to verse 4, okay? Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Verse 6. Then these high officials and satraps came by an agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign a document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. They want Daniel to suffer. That's the whole reason for this. And so what they do is they get together, they come up with a lie, and go to the king and say, "Hey, everybody, all of your satraps, all the people on the ground, all the people who know the people who know the stuff, we all agree that it would be great for you to pass this law that everyone has to pray only to you for the next 30 days. And you pass that law as one of the laws of the Medes and the Persians, and that kind of law cannot be changed, cannot be revoked." And so Darius, in his vanity, agrees. But the people are doing this because they want Daniel to suffer. That's the reason for this. And it's implied in the text, although we're not told directly, it's implied in the text that they are doing this because Daniel is being faithful to God. And he's not enriching himself. He's actually doing his job. This job he has from Darius is so that the king might suffer no loss. And Daniel is doing that well. And they want him to suffer because Daniel is serving God, doing the right thing. We're told in the New Testament, and I'm going to paraphrase this, don't suffer for being a jerk. If you suffer for being a jerk, what benefit is there in that? But when we suffer for faithfully following Jesus Christ, that there is benefit in that. Jesus told us, in this world we all have much tribulation. It's from John chapter 16. Tribulation is a word for a lot of suffering, and trials and difficulties. We're called to walk the way of the cross. And that's how we seek the welfare of our city, by serving and suffering. I remember about 28 years ago, being in the home of a family that Heather and I knew when we were recently married. And they were an older couple, and they at that point had, I think, 7 children. They had a total, I think, of 9 children. A very, very loving family. I lived in a double wide trailer. And we were over there one night for dinner, and something happened. There was a squabble or a fight or a disagreement, and one of the boys was crying in his dad's lap, and he was protesting, "It's not fair! It's not fair!" And the dad very calmly said to him with a bit of a wry smile, he said, "Oh, son, who told you that life was fair? Because they lied to you." And I remember kind of being really kind of taken aback. And it stuck with me. We live in a time where it's very difficult for us to suffer as Christians because we live with the rule of law, with the protection of the Constitution. And so when we do suffer, our natural response is, that's not fair, and we protest. But God has called us to suffer for Christ in this world. And I think we got to do a better job of figuring out how to not so quickly object all the time with that's not fair or grasping at our rights. We're called to expect suffering. We're called to expect suffering. That this is the way of the cross. Suffering, crucifixion, death, and resurrection. This is one of the ways where we most deeply meet Jesus, our suffering Savior. For when we suffer for Him, we suffer with Him. At the core of Christianity is the message of suffering. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son to die on a cross, that we might be forgiven, that we might be restored to God. The whole message of Christianity at its core is not about victory and success and overcoming and having it all together. At the core of Christianity is the message of suffering and death and sacrifice. That's what Jesus did. He came to die on a cross that we might be forgiven and restored to God. By accepting His death on our behalf. And when we suffer for Christ, we meet Jesus in deep ways. We can meet Jesus in deep ways. If we suffer with Christ, we find Him to be the one who understands. The one who understands difficulty, persecution, isolation, loneliness, loss. The one who understands grief and confusion and the weight of the sin of the world and the brokenness of the world. Lastly, with hope. How do we seek the welfare of the city where God has sent you as into exile? By serving and suffering with hope. Let's read verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. When Solomon dedicated the temple as a part of that prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8, where he says, kind of predicting the future, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, if they pray towards this place and acknowledge your name and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear and forgive. Daniel is following that from the dedication of the temple. God's people have sinned against him, and God has punished them. He hasn't here in Daniel's situation withheld the rain. He's taken him into exile. The confession of sin that Kari wrote for us in our worship guide this morning is from Daniel 9. It's one of Daniel's prayers. And we see that that's what Daniel is doing. When he prays, he's praying for God to forgive his people and to restore them to Jerusalem. But he's praying with hope. Look at the very last words of verse 10. As he had done previously. When Daniel heard that he was going to get killed, he did what he did every day. There's no note of panic or despair or anxiety in this passage. Daniel goes and does what he has been doing every day. He prayed to his God. Daniel's hope was not in his position. And he was sitting pretty. He had power. He had privilege. He had the adoration of the ruler. And as we go on in Daniel 6, we realize that we find out that Darius is heartbroken when he finds out that Daniel has to be thrown to the lions. He tries everything he can find to do to save Daniel. Daniel doesn't trust in the world. He doesn't trust in his position. He doesn't trust in his friends. He doesn't trust in his network. His hope is in God, and we see that in his prayers. Three times a day is his habit. He goes and he prays to God. As we serve God here in exile, we got to put our hope in Jesus Christ, not in this world. As we've seen in the story with Daniel, we can't trust this world. Things change. Surprises happen. There's suffering. There's persecution. There's COVID-19. Oh, we cannot trust this world or put our hope in this world. Have you put your hope in Jesus Christ? He's the only thing that you can rest in. He is the only thing that is worthy of your hope. Nothing else is sufficient, and nothing else can sustain the hopes that we have apart from Jesus Christ. The other thing that this says to us again in the book of Daniel, we're closing with this. The message of Daniel is, in spite of present circumstances, God is in control. Take comfort in that, my people. When things are out of control and when you have no control, realize that God is still in control. 2020 has been a tough year, but God is still in control. As we come into the season of Christmas celebration and Advent longing, let's take our longing to Jesus. I'm praying for a vaccine. I'm praying for a safe vaccine to hurry up and get here. I'm asking God for that blessing. But our hope must be in Jesus Christ more than it is in a vaccine. The Jesus who meets us in our suffering, our sympathetic high priest, the one who calls us to serve this broken and sinful world. We do that with hope, and that makes all the difference. I know what it means to serve without hope, and so do you. And everyone else can tell when we're serving without hope in God. We know what it means to suffer, but to not suffer with hope. And everyone else around us knows when we are suffering and not suffering well. Jesus Christ has come into this world. God is in control, and Jesus Christ will return. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, meet us and feed us yourself, that we might have your grace and your power and your presence to serve and to suffer with hope. Amen.